So how many calls do you think the average decision maker gets from people like you and I trying to sell them something? I mean, just on like a weekly basis alone, if you were to guess, how many calls do you think that they're getting from people like you and I? How many emails would you guess that they're getting? And how about just like sales pitches in general? Now, here's the thing. When you're on the receiving end of lots of sales messaging, it all starts to sound the same. It all starts to blend in, and we all kind of, you know, like that's kind of the beginning of that whole you guys are a dime a dozen thing, right? So today we're going to talk about how to stand out when everyone sounds the same. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 15,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready, because school is now in session. I'll tell you, it's funny. Just about every sales rep on the planet thinks that they're different from everybody else. But so few of the sales reps that are out there are actually willing to put in the effort to demonstrate that they're different. By the way, I mean, Jim, do you really think that there's a huge difference between thinking that you're different or even telling people that you're different? Because I don't know. I mean, you know, I mean, is it possible that we tell potential clients, well, we're different than all the other companies out there? But so few of the sales reps that are out there actually put in the effort to demonstrate that they're different. So today we're talking about how to do this creatively. And are you ready for this? Even if you're not the creative type. So I want to put you at ease like right away with that. We're going to talk about how to use creativity today. Even if like you consider yourself like the least creative person like in the world. Imagine having that designation, the least creative person in the world. I mean, that what a horrible thing to live under. But it really starts with a question. And it's a question that has about two or three variations that I'm going to share with you today. There's actually endless possibilities with this question. And it's a question we've talked about before, especially on this podcast. So the question is, in what ways can I use creativity to get in front of more opportunities? Because that's what we're looking to do here. Get in front of more opportunities, especially with year-end rapidly approaching. Some of you are like so close to nailing down that President's Club status and that trip. I have a few of my coaching clients that I'm working with right now. Man, we are just like within arm's reach of that trip to the Bahamas or like to Vegas, all kinds of cool places. Cooler places than I'm going to be going to unless I make President's Club. But it starts with a question. In what ways can I use creativity to get in front of more opportunities? Now, you can go more specific than that. So if you have a particular account that you're really trying to get into, notice how I didn't use the word penetrate. It's like, I don't know, it should be illegal for sales reps. I'm trying to penetrate that account. And like, every time, it doesn't matter, man. You could have a bunch of old farts like me in the room. You hear all these like sixth grade type of snickers. So, I mean, that's one of your takeaways today. Do not say penetrate anymore. It's just something that you shouldn't do. Not amongst a sales crowd. I mean, come on, we're the most childish people in the world. Not me, I'm professional. But anyway, I'm sorry. Even that I'm laughing at. I don't know why. I just think funny shit all the time. But anyway, you can then get more specific. And this time I'll say it without being like a total wise ass. In what ways can I use creativity to get in front of the ABC company? Now, sales managers, you can turn this into a brainstorming session and actually transform that piece of crap sales meeting that you're about to have where, you know, and my definition is like where you're going to go around and you're going to talk about everybody's numbers and their projections and all the stuff that inspires an outer body experience. And then you wonder why everybody like never participates and pushes back. Oh, I got to go to your damn shitty sales meeting next week. Now, I'm not going to say that to you, because that could be an HR problem, but they're thinking it, and you need to know that. So, like, one of the things you can do here is throw that question out to everybody and have them answer it, you know, individually, or you can do it as a group brainstorming. In what ways can we get in front of more opportunities by using creativity? Or, I feel like I just invented a new word, or you can just have them, again, get very specific. In what ways can I use creativity to get in front of the ABC company? Now, what you do is, one of the coolest things that you should do in sales meetings, sales managers, or anybody here who ever has to facilitate a meeting with a group of stakeholders, what you want to do is facilitate a discussion in a way that you can avoid groupthink. Groupthink is not a good thing. So what you want to do is have everyone answer the question in silence on a piece of paper, if you want to provide handouts, whatever you want to do. And you want to give them only about 3 minutes to answer it. This way, the brain knows, you know, I'm under pressure. I got to do this. This, you know, he's not giving me a day and a half to think of stuff here. And you want to go about 2 to 3 minutes and have that urgency. And then what you do afterwards, depending on how many people you have in this discussion, it can be done live, like in a conference room. It can be done in your sales kickoff meeting, by the way. It can be done on conference calls and on a WebEx to get a little participation. You can have everybody like do this in silence. But then what you can do is either you can go around individually and call people by name. Okay, Mary, you know, give us, you know, 2 to 3 of the highlights you came up with. Okay, Tom, what did you come up with? Right? And if there's like a whole like shit ton of people on your sales team, what you can do is you could break people into groups. Typically, I like to have groups of about like 5 people, no more than about 8, and just go around and have everybody in that group share like their top 2 to 3. And then in each group, before you kind of begin that exercise, have one person that everybody's going to throw under the bus. And I have fun with it. And I tell them, hey, we're going to play a game called Throw Each Other Under the Bus. And for some reason, salespeople love that game. It's like we love being pricks. It's just, it's hilarious. So, like, you know, I'll tell everybody, okay, hold up your pen in the air and point to the person that you want to throw under the bus. And then, okay, that's going to be your team leader. Team leader, your job is to compile everyone's answers as you go around the table. And that's kind of how you do it. And you get a lot of great ideas. But either way, no matter how you plan on doing this, especially like in this team context, what I would recommend that you do is, you know, either appoint someone who's going to be the scribe to write all these things down from the group, or have everyone email their answers to you after the meeting, like by the close of business. And then you could forward it on to your assistant or whatever and have them compile one big PDF for everyone. And see, that's how you leverage the collective brain power of your sales team. Everybody say, I wish we were more of a team, which is, it's kind of rough for salespeople to really operate in a team environment. I'm not saying they should. I really believe that they should, but nobody knows how. And that's why it's difficult, because, you know, it's like, hey, I got to go out there and kick ass. I mean, unless we're in a team selling environment where I'm going to go in with 2 or 3 of my peers or whatever, like, you know, teamwork for the sake of teamwork can be a little bit like crazy, right? Well, here's a way that you can really instill teamwork. Get everybody has like great ideas, hopefully, unless you're in a team of idiots, and you can brainstorm. So remember, it starts with a question. Now, before I give you some very specific ideas, and guys, you know that's how I like to operate on this podcast. It amazes me how many people, and I'm not for any, like even for 1 second, saying that I'm like God's gift to podcasting. I'm not. I mean, I've been doing this forever, and you know, I'm not ranked up there at the top. I just come in and do what I do, damn it. But here's the thing, like, it just amazes me, and it's not just sales trainers. It's in all different areas and disciplines. I see people on their podcasts speaking real philosophically and really, you know, like, just in generalities. I can't take that to the bank. I need specifics. I need you, if you're doing a podcast, to give me three ways I can do this or five ways I can do that or examples and things like that. But if you're going to get into telling me how much of an evangelist you are about something, or you're going to tell me about and I always use this as an example because this amazes me how many sales trainers do. Talk about all the different forms of value and shit like that. Like, what do I do with that? Like, I'm going to nod my head when you're saying it. I'm going to agree that you sound incredibly intelligent. But after that, there's really a whole lot of dick that I could do with that. There's really nothing that I can do with that. So I want to, you know, get into some very specific things with you. But before I do, I want to help you set the stage to become more creative. Our goal here is not to make you into like the next David Ogilvy or that Madison Avenue like ad guy, right? Or ad girl. What we're looking to do here is just to simply make you more creative than you are today and to stop showing up in the exact same way, shape, and form as your competitors. I want to give you that edge so that you can get in front of more opportunities. So one of the things that I recommend that you do is carve out some thinking time. And ideally, it would be every single day that you do this. Now, some people say, well, I do this when I'm in the car and stuff like that. I don't know that this is the same thing. And yes, you can certainly think while you're in the car, but I don't know that you want to be writing when you're in the car. And I want to capture ideas. That's, to me, the whole point of the thinking time thing. Yes, thinking things through is important, but also having time to like jot down ideas and, you know, make little like stick figure diagrams or whatever the hell you need to do to capture your thoughts. So the key here when you do the thinking time is to do it. It would be great if you could do it every day, but I know you guys are busy. But I think you should be doing it at least 2 to 3 times a week. And before I get into a few ideas with the thinking time, to me, you know, the example I always give, it's like this old episode of I Love Lucy and the Chocolate Factory. If you've ever seen that, especially people my generation, they remember the reruns of that show being on TV and stuff. There she is. She's in the chocolate factory and she's working at this conveyor belt and all these pieces of chocolate are coming by her and it starts going faster and faster and soon they're falling off the damn conveyor belt. She's putting it in her mouth. She's putting them, stuffing them in her apron just to try to like keep up with it all. To me, that really represents your thoughts every single day. Because, I mean, there's all different facts and figures available as to how many thoughts the brain has on a daily basis. And it's anywhere from about 60, 65,000 on up to about 90,000. Again, it depends on who you want to believe. So to me, that's your brain. It's I Love Lucy in the Chocolate Factory. So it is really important to us that we get the brain to slow down so that we can see some of the things that we're thinking about and just become more deliberate and intentional in our actions. So what I do is I do my thinking time on a daily basis, and I've been doing it now since I started my sales training company in 2011. I've done it pretty much every day since March 2011. And what I like to do is make it fun so this isn't tedious. I like to go outside. And, you know, even when it's a little cold out, I'll go and light up the fire pit. You guys know I'm big on cigars. I've been cutting back a lot because I'm trying to get a little bit healthier, drop a lot of weight and not do as much of the cigar thing. But that's one of the things that I like to do. And what I really like to do, and I recommend that you do, is get some good music into my earbuds, right? So I've created different playlists. And the best ones for thinking that I found, and my clients will tell you the same thing, would be instrumental types of music. Because if you're like me, if you hear things with words in it, you know, you're kind of humming along and you're thinking about the actual song instead of helping that get you into a good thinking state. So I'll give you a few types of genres of music. I sound very sophisticated when I said that. I actually had to look the word up before I came on the podcast. That's how stupid I am. But classical music is one that does very, very well, for me anyway. New age music is very, very good, so long as it like isn't some bizarre shit of you know, like, you know, elephant noises and seals and things like that. And even like the sound of like running water is very relaxing for me, but it's also very distracting because I keep hearing the running water and I have to keep running in the house and using the bathroom. So that's not very productive for me. But, you know, an interesting thing I wanted to share with you about music. My problem with things in general is I can't leave it alone. If I hear something interesting, I've got to beat it up and learn about it and just see where people were going with things. Instead of just listening and being entertained by things, I've got to like dig deeper. And there was a movie a few years ago called The Social Network about our friend Mark Zuckerberg. And in that movie, like, I think it happened like once or twice where there was a scene where somebody tried to talk with somebody who was doing all kinds of coding, and the people doing the coding had headphones on. And like once or twice, Zuckerberg said, "Oh, no, no, leave him alone. He's dialed in. He's wired in." I think it was wired in. Right? So it was something like, you know, "No, no, leave him alone. He's wired in right now." So I had to look it up. I couldn't just leave it alone, let it be like a random line in the freaking movie. I got to look it up. And this is an actual thing amongst like coders and, you know, people do all kinds of computer work. And what they do is they put the headphones on to tune everything out so that they can become immersed in that thought process. And what a lot of them do, and don't knock it until you try it, because at first I was like, I don't know. And then I tried it. And your Uncle Paul loved it. A lot of them will listen to a lot of like that trance type of music. So I said, all right, you know, like I dismissed it right away. It's like one of those things that doesn't look right on your Uncle Paul's table. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like going out to a bar and me getting one of those little like foo-foo drinks with all the damn umbrellas and little, it doesn't look right. Doesn't look right to me. So this, like, I was like, oh, trance music. Like, what the hell, man? You know, like, do I need to, like, take some ecstasy and shit before that? And what the hell do? They chew on these necklaces when they're all, like, high and shit? Like, I didn't know what to make of it. So I tried some of the music and a whole shitload of ecstasy. No, I'm kidding, right? Did I get you for a second? Right, imagine that. So I'm recommending that you do ecstasy. You're going to be the most creative person in the world. There's probably going to be some crap ideas, and you will flunk that drug test, by the way. But no, but seriously, I'm not advocating that at all. But what I'm saying is the music, like, I was able, like, surprisingly, to think really, really well. So what I've done is I've created different thinking time playlists to kind of get me in that mood. And last but not least, with music especially, it's a very big emotional trigger. So if you can tap into something that gets you very, very relaxed and everything and just very productive with your thinking, every time you hear that sequence of music and the order of that music and everything, it triggers an emotional state for you. So that's something kind of cool for you to think of. You know, really the biggest thing, I think, when you want to be more creative and think of ideas, even brainstorming things that are challenging you right now, maybe your sales aren't where they really need to be, or maybe, like, you know, geez, man, my cold calling really, like, sucks. I got to get better at it. And you just want to, like, think it through and kind of ponder it a bit and try to come up with some ideas so that, you know, you kind of have something to work with or whatever. The more relaxed you are, the better with ideas. And you probably knew that. But, you know, there was an interesting thing. There's a lot of stories about Thomas Edison that seems like every motivational speaker, like, they probably beat the hell out of it 50 years ago. And we're still hearing him. And, like, we've heard him so many times. Like, the whole thing, like, about, what was it? Like, no, I haven't failed, you know, 10,000 times or whatever it is. I just found 9,999 ways not to invent the whatever the hell it. I don't even remember what the heck it was. Like, I've heard it so many times, I've tuned it the hell out. But there's a story about Edison that a lot of people haven't heard. And again, I don't really care if it's true or not, to be honest with you, because I think it's a damn good idea. So, but the story goes that many times he would intentionally try to fall asleep standing up, and he would hold some kind of noisy shit so that, you know how it is, like, when, like, you ever have this happen, like, for me, this is like every day, you fall asleep and you've got the remote in your hands and it drops, like, what's going on? Like, it, like, riles you and you wake up, right? And, you know, wet the bed or whatever the hell it is from the stress, right? Not saying I do, but, like, it scares you, right? And it riles you. Well, what he did was he had some kind of noisy stuff. And again, that I've heard so many different versions of that, what he had in his hand. It doesn't matter. But he had something that when he would fall asleep, his hand would drop it and wake him the hell up. But then what he did was he immediately wrote down whatever it was he was thinking. And he didn't judge it. And that's very, very important. Now, the reason why that is a very powerful thing, and I'm not saying that you fall asleep standing up. I'm going to give you a more normal variation of that, right? Because you're not out to invent the light bulb here or whatever, right? Or like phonograph and other shit that he did. What you're looking to do is just like get ideas. Well, the thing that you have to realize is that your brain is at its most relaxed, most creative point right before you drift into sleep, when you're falling asleep at night, and upon immediately waking up. And, you know, what makes that very productive is that it doesn't have a lot of rules and inhibitions. And really, there's not a lot of judgment. It just gives you things, just not giving, like, a damn, just hands it to you. But during the day, you're awake and you're more rational and more logical. But so what I recommend that you do is one or two things. Heck, you could do both. But either keep a pad and a pen by, like me, I fall asleep in my recliner like every damn night. So I keep, except when Game of Thrones is on, because that is like you should be banished from the human race for doing that. I keep it right by my recliner. You keep it right on your night table. But also, if it's easier for you to have a digital recorder, the only thing about the digital recorder, you know, God forbid somebody gets their hands on that and you choose to run for like president or office, because you're going to sound pretty damn incoherent if you think about it. Like right before you fall asleep, there you are. Purple colored mooses with headphones. It's like if the wrong people get a hold of that. And especially a family member, they can have you committed. So I just think maybe you write it might be better, right? I just think that would be, and plus just like your voice, like when you're half asleep, you know, you don't make a lot of sense. So better to write it down, I think. So that could be something that could be very helpful to you. But now, there's more to it. There's a really cool book that is going to set you back all of about $12. I mean, think about it. That's going to be less than a cup of coffee over at Starbucks, because it's like $500 now for a latte there. It's nuts, right? So there's a book. It's got to have been around, like, it was probably written 25 years ago. I bought the damn book 25 years ago, and I think it had already been out for a while, and it's called Thinker Toys. All, like, one word, right? Thinker Toys. Just like sounds like Tinker Toys, but it's Thinker Toys. Get it? Because you gotta freaking think. And the author's name, which I'll probably butcher, is Michael McCalco, and he spells his last name MICKEYMOUSE. No, I'm kidding. He spells his last name MICHALKO. Michael McCalco. If you go on Amazon right now, you'll see it's like $11.59 or something like that. But what's really cool about the book Thinker Toys is that it is not a cover-to-cover read. It's more of, I think it's a good reference book. I think it's a good book just to kind of do exercises here and there. But it gives you a number of different types of problem-solving formulas and ways to get your creativity. And it gives you, like there's one formula And I don't remember the whole thing, but it's like an acronym. And I remember they called it the SCAMPER formula. And I think it's spelled like S-C-A-M-P-E-R. And each one of those letters stands for something that you can do to get you to see things from a different perspective or give you a new idea. And, you know, like the one that I happen to remember, right? I don't know why I would choose this one to remember, but the R in SCAMPER stands for reverse. Could you do the opposite of what you're thinking? Could you kind of invert the order of things, you know, the last thing being first and all that kind of stuff? But you're going to find a lot of great ideas in there, getting to get the brain going. And then finally, the other exercise that you can do, and then I promise you, I've got at least a dozen ideas, I think, here, specifically what you can do to get in the door and stand out. So if you bear with me, the last idea here with this sequence is take something familiar to you and something that's basic and practice variations of that. So one of the things I read a few years ago, and I think this definitely was the gist of the blog post of the article, it was that one of the things you can do is take something like saying thank you to your clients and find different ways of doing that. So maybe right now, the way that you say thank you to them, maybe you do it verbally, or maybe you send an email. A lot of people don't send the handwritten thank you cards. We've all been guilty of that. But what can we do beyond that now? Now that we kind of take those things off the table, you know, is there a way with food or maybe dropping something off, a fun kit? Is like maybe a personalized card that you can have printed up on something like send out cards or something, or going to your local printer who has digital capabilities and having fun with that thank you. But take something familiar like that first and try to think of all different types of variations. And just as a kind of an aside, I guess, in one of my speeches about 10 years ago, a keynote address that I did with a bunch of leadership development people, I did a brainstorming exercise where we took a familiar object, which is a paperclip, and I showed them how to come up with just an insane amount of ideas for a paperclip. And there was a formula that we followed, and it was just, you know, it was amazing how we could take something like that, a basic familiar item, so familiar that you just dismiss it. You think, well, it's there to hold papers together. And we came up with, like, it was insane. I think, and it was like 10 years ago, that we might have like been like somewhere in the 80 to 100 idea range by the time we got done. And the whole point of that speech wasn't to make everybody an expert at paperclip usage. It was to get them to think differently and get them to follow a formula. So having said that, enough of the philosophy, let's get into more specific things. So how do you and I open more doors and kind of set ourselves apart and position ourselves so we don't sound like another me too type of sales rep? So a few ideas that I want you to jot down, not if you're driving in the car, but if you are driving in the car, you know, if you can, why don't you pull over, write a few of these things down, because I think it's going to be worth your time. So the first idea, is there something with food that you can do to have some fun? Maybe use it to make a point or to get them to lighten up. I mean, sometimes the best way to someone's heart is through their belly. The other thing that I want you to think about, is there a way? Oh, and as we go, I also want you to think, sometimes you can combine a lot of these ideas that I'm talking about. Like you might like the idea of something with the food with something else that I talk about, like this next item, and combine it. So is there like some kind of a kit that you can put together to get their attention? Now, let's take a quick time out. One of the biggest mistakes that people make when it comes to using something creative is they don't help the recipient connect the dots. And what happens is many times is that they give something that comes across as like really random. And the bad joke that I always like use, forgive me, but you're going to hear it again, it's kind of like, oh, gee, hey, thank you for this pocket lint and eggshells. I have no effing idea where you're going with this. You just sound like a nutcase to me. I am writing you off, right? So it backfires. So you got to be careful with it. So you have to connect the dots for them and just have it be something that underscores a point. So maybe some kind of a fun kit. Now, this one is one of my, the next one is one of my favorite things to do. You know, we all have intangible things that we offer. Even if you offer a physical product, there are intangible things that you offer as part of that deal, right? And there's all different things. I mean, heck, I mean, there might be insurance, there might be a warranty, there might be training that goes along with it, there might be like this incredible service that you offer, this incredible quality control, even like your expertise comes along with it. Like, I love that commercial for Napa Auto Parts where the like person's buying like brake pads or whatever, and the person at the counter slaps down the brake pads and puts a can right next to it, a really nice like blue labeled can that says Napa know-how, and the person like goes, I'm sorry, I didn't order that, or like, you know, what the hell is that, right? And the person says, oh, that comes with everything, man. You always get our know-how with any order. You get the ability to pick our brain, ask us questions, you get our industry expertise. And I have to say, gold star to Napa, you know, auto parts, because what they did here brilliantly is they took something intangible like know-how and expertise, something that you and I need to be bringing to the party, right? I mean, we really do. I mean, people buy you and I first, before the company, before the widget, before the solution. If they, and it's not just a matter of know, like, and trust, right? Another thing that gets beaten to death. It's a matter of somebody having that level of confidence in your ability because you have demonstrated it. You haven't just told them. You have demonstrated it and proven it throughout the courtship. That is very, very important. So my question to you is, how, in what ways, see, there goes the question again, in what ways can you make intangible things that you do more tangible? So again, it might be things like you offer, you know, you're licensed and insured at levels that your competitors aren't. You offer incredible product training, or your team is trained in a way that's second to none in the industry. It could be the level of service that you provide. How could you put a tangible face on that? The quality that you offer. I mean, everybody says, yeah, we've got this quality control program, whatever, and they say it nicer than that, but how do you put a face on that? How do you make people look at that and say, ah, that looks like a quality control program? So that could be very, very good. How about a selling point that you're able to reinforce somehow by sending something to them? A selling point. Now, you know, this one I hesitate in saying it to you because I feel like I am being disrespectful to like one of my first mentors, my dad. He, you know, and it makes it worse right now what I'm about to say because he had passed away many, many years ago. So I don't want to be disrespectful. I liked where he was going with an idea. I just always, maybe because I was just a youngin' at the time, when he gave me this idea, but we worked together in a family business called Castain Consulting way back when, and I was we were manufacturers reps selling to the graphic arts industry. That's how, by the way, I had first gotten into printing and stuff. I learned how to run a printing press so that I would understand our customers and kind of got the printer's ink in the blood, and that was one of the ways that I was able to serve one of many industries that I serve right now. And so, you know, one of the things that my dad would really try to reinforce with people is how we're able to give them, as manufacturers reps, a competitive edge. Now, the way that he did it, I thought was interesting. I thought it was creative, but it just fell short to me. Maybe it's just, I don't know. Again, it might just be me, but I think we can learn from his thought process. Which, so to reinforce competitive edge, what he did was he would send our clients and even like our potential clients like the best scissors, right? Which were like Hofritz or something like that. And, you know, I thought that was great. And then, you know, other times what he would do at the holidays is he'd give them like nice cutlery or something like that. And I get it. I really, really liked the way where he was going with it. It just, I was never like 100% on it. Like me, competitive edge, I'd give everybody on your team like katanas. That's what I would do. Because I would like, I would love to get that call from HR. Is this Paul Castain? Yep. We have a bone to pick with you, Mr. Castain. You have incited a prison riot in the break room. Well, how did I do it? What did I do? We understand you armed our sales team with katanas. Yes, I did. I think every sales team should be armed with katanas. Well, they're having sword fights and there are injuries and stuff. And, you know, my response would be, well, sales rep, those crazy kids, right? I mean, you know, let the kids be kids now. Can't go smothering them with a bunch of rules. But anyway, but you see, no, but he was really going somewhere good with this whole thing before I completely dissed the guy. He was really reinforcing our selling point. Are there ways for you to do it? Also, how about, you know, like some fun swag that you can use to reinforce a point? Or maybe get someone's attention. Is there something that you can do there? How about one of my favorite things to do would be something with like a greeting card. And you could either get pre-printed greeting cards that are very different. As a matter of fact, years ago, I was on board with this writing thank you cards thing. And when I say years ago, I'm talking like 25 years ago when I had a full freaking head of hair. That type of stuff. And What I did then was like, you know, you've got to like stationery stores and stuff. And I was like in search of like the most kick-ass thank you card. And, you know, some things like if you say it to somebody, it doesn't have the same impact if you read it. So it's not going to seem as cool now unless you were reading it. But I had this card that it was something like this. Like you look and it had all these different ways of saying thank you. Which I'm sure you've seen that visual before, right? Gracias and all this other shit. Or gracias, as you guys say down in Texas. But anyway, it was like all these different ways of saying thank you. And then you open it up and it says, which means that if I was any more grateful, I'd give you the keys to my car or something like that. And it was different. And that's my point here. If we could take things that people are just used to and are used to reading in a corporate, stuffy type of way, and we bring a breath of fresh air to the party long enough to make them pause and say, who the hell is this guy? Or who the heck is this dudette? I think it could be a really, really good thing. So you can do pre-printed greeting cards. You could also do customized greeting cards. We do like call-outs and use the person's name in there. I guarantee you they're not going to throw that card out with their name in it, right? It's going to be interesting. Something seasonal. Is there something seasonal that might get someone's attention? You could take a familiar phrase and then do a play on words. Now, here's something I did years ago, and you might want to do it too. I don't have it in front of me, unfortunately, so I don't know the name of it. And I kind of just jotted it down as like a last minute thought before I kind of clicked the record button on today's podcast. I picked up a book years ago with like old sayings in it. And I picked it up for a different reason back then. And I picked it up because there are sayings that have been around us our whole life. And you ever wonder, like, well, how did that come about? And what the hell does that mean? Because you say it, but you never really, like something crazy, like mind your P's and Q's, right? That's, like, really dating me now. But, like, what the hell does that mean? Well, apparently that means, like, pints and quarts. Like, people would say that to people. So I guess people didn't get shit-faced. I guess that's, like, now I'd say, hey, like to my 23-year-old, I would say, don't get shit-faced tonight. I don't want to wake up to you, like, throwing up in the bathroom. Right, that's not how Dad wants to wake up. So, especially when I fall asleep in the damn recliner. So, because the dropping of the remote won't wake me up, but a child throwing up will do it every time. And then I don't write down my thoughts. My thoughts are, why is he throwing up again? But anyway, I digress. So, you could take a familiar phrase, but like, see if there's a book that you can get. And sometimes like those phrases will give you some really cool ideas. One of the things I did in my business, and I've done this a few times with a few different businesses I've been involved in, is like create a riddle. And what I did was I created a riddle, and all my mailing pieces that I have for Castain Training Systems, I've designed them as like a greeting card. In a way. So this way they can go into a colored envelope. I can hand address them There's no Castain training systems envelope. I don't run them through a meter, slap a stamp on that bad boy, and I send it out, and it's more personal, and they get opened, and you know, you're looking at a bunch of like faded white envelopes, and there's a cobalt blue one, hand addressed with a stamp on it. Imagine that. Pretty ballsy, right? And you know, you're going to open that one up without any prejudging it. Like, you know, like if you saw like an envelope that said Castain training systems, you might be inclined to say, I don't need any stinking training. This get should open it up. And but anyway, I created a riddle, and it goes something like this. And again, I want to be very clear. I am not going to quit my day job to write copy. I'm just saying that this is going to be a little different than the normal training shit that you guys get in the mail from trainers. If you get stuff from people who do training, because they tend to really just rely on this online stuff. To me, I like all the above. I like options. Always have, always will. But here's what my riddle card says. What has one word, one syllable, and endless ROI? You remember? Let's say it again so you do remember it. What has one word, one syllable, and endless ROI? You open it up, and it says, a coach. See? And again, I'm not going to sit here and quit the day job. Castain, you're a freaking copywriting genius. Hell no. I'm just trying to struggle every day, not putting my foot in my damn mouth. But I'll tell you what, one thing I know is that it's different. So maybe you can create a riddle and have some fun with that. You can also do some stuff with like fun holidays. Because every day there's like some kind of National Chocolate Lovers Day and National Secretaries Day, all these things. And I almost sounded like I was making fun of National Secretaries Day or National Assistants Day or whatever the heck it is. That's like more legit than some of these other ones. It's like, you know, National Pocket Lint Day. But if you know what day it is, and maybe you can have some fun with it and tie it in with some of these other ideas to stand out. My point is this. I don't think on National Chocolate Lovers Day, for example, if you sent them, say, a chocolate like business card. I almost say chocolate covered business card. There they are eating it. And it's like, what the hell is this? Cardstock. Yeah. Tastes like shit. Right? I don't want you doing that. A chocolate covered business card. But, like, they are on National Chocolate Lovers Day, and you send, like, a chocolate business card type of thing, and you could either do a play on words, or, again, just having some fun getting people to lighten up a little bit. I don't think they're going to say, hey, that's brilliant. Do me a favor. Would you put it in the pile of all the other chocolate business cards and chocolate-covered business cards from Castain that he keeps sending me, trying to poison me? I don't think they're going to say, just put it in the pot of all the other ones I've received. You're going to stand out. There's also, you can take a potential client behind the scenes and meet the family, so to speak, with video. You can use a video to introduce yourself instead of those intro emails, right? Everybody introduces themselves by email. Even getting away from the email, introduce yourself through snail mail somehow. How about finding a creative way to use a warm intro from a mutual friend? Maybe there's a more creative way of doing that, having some fun with it. Remember, my thing is this, and you may not agree with it, and maybe this is a branding thing that's true to me. It might not resonate with you. But I really believe business is wound too tight. I think that even though like we've become a lot more casual, I think there's way too much formality and a lot of corporate speak. And I want to be a breath of fresh air. Now, one thing I'm going to tell you about my style is that it's not for everyone. And I purposely intensify my style on my podcasts and everything else. And my reason for me doing it, remember, I don't work for a company. I'm not going to get called into HR. I'm not going to get fired. This is my company. So ultimately, it affects me in some ways at a much higher level, right? So, but my thing is this, is that sooner or later, you're going to find out about my personality. Sooner or later, you're going to find out about my style. I just want to get you to that point that sooner rather than later. It'll save you time, and it'll save me time. I don't apologize for my style, by the way. I don't. I don't apologize for the fact that I'll say the word shit on my podcast, or I'll say things like dicky, or, you know, kind of douchey or whatever. I don't apologize for it. And I get emails all the time from people saying, you know, I found it offensive or whatever. Is good. Go somewhere else. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you know, I would say sorry, but I'm not. I'm really not. I didn't come over and just like break your nose or something. You know, all right. So if you don't like those types of words, or if you don't like, you know, my type of New York style or whatever it is, we can part as friends. It's really that simple. But I'm not going to change, and I'm not asking you to change. I want to appeal to a certain type of person. I am not going to work well in a very stuffy corporate environment. That's why I like to put it out there. But I also believe that there are variations of that that you can put out there. I'm not saying with the cursing, by the way. I'm saying like breath of fresh air type of stuff. Be the person who's willing to show up differently than everyone else. Maybe even in a more informal, respectful type of manner. Let's talk about a few more ideas. How about more of a creative voicemail? I mean, think about all like the voicemails we leave. Hopefully you are leaving voicemails. How could you do that more creatively? How about creative ways to handle typical objections? You can handle them by the book, so to speak, or you could try to be a little more creative in your responses. How about creative ways to send someone info when they request that info? In fact, if you go back to August 26th on my blog, yoursalesplaybook.com, the blog post I did on August 26th, you're going to see, you're going to learn a creative, several creative ways that you can actually send people information when they request it. So that might be a little bit different for you. Creative ways to explain your value proposition. So let's stop there for a second. And I've used this example before, but I also know each and every week we get several hundred people subscribing and stuff. So this is going to be the first time for some of you. You know, when I'm explaining how I'm a different sales kickoff speaker, right? Because this time of year especially, I get lots of calls, people need speakers, and they want to hire me to come in and, you know, help get the troops going and everything else. So I could make a statement to you, and, you know, it may or may not resonate with you. But then what I do is I use an analogy that's more creative so that people really understand how I'm different. So one of the ways I communicate one of my differences between me and a lot of the other sales kickoff speakers is that I tell them, you know, you have a lot of people that come in there and they're really, really good at riling up your troops and motivational and rah-rah and getting everybody pumped up and headbutting each other in the audience, ready to run out there and tear bumpers off the cars. But here's where I get creative. And I say, but it's really a lot like a Red Bull adrenaline rush. You feel really good at the time. You have this burst of energy. But then by the time they leave that event, because that's all it is, it's an event instead of, you know, really like a mini program, which is what I recommend. They leave. By the time they get to the airport, then it's the debilitating crash that you get with a Red Bull, right? You have all this energy, and then there's the crash. So that's how I explain it. How could you explain it? How could you explain your difference and your value proposition? Also, creative ways to use props in your next presentation, especially to demonstrate some of those intangible things we talked about. And that's about it, folks. I mean, you know, I think I gave you a lot there, some different ideas about thinking and thinking time and music and how that can play into it and being in a more relaxed state of mind, taking a familiar type of thing and playing around with different variations of it. And I had said to you, well, try to think of different ways to say thank you. Also, I gave you just lots of ideas. I think it was about, I don't know, about 10 or so ideas on specific things that you can do, ranging from food to different types of greeting cards, things, you know, seasonal and things with your voicemail, things with props, all kinds of ideas. But they're all worthless until you choose to do something with it. I don't want you ever going to my podcast just for the entertainment of it, because like what I always say is I'm really not that entertaining, number one. And number two, I mean, you know, you don't, I mean, if you want to be entertained, I think you should go hang out on Netflix or go binge watch some kind of a show. But if you really want to learn something, whenever you consume, immediately make a deal with yourself. Never leave the scene of something you've consumed and agree with without immediately saying, what am I going to do with this? Get your action verbs going. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. Just, you don't have to go and leave here and apply all like 15 of the ideas that I gave you today. What if you were to just leave here and commit to one and then get it on your schedule where you actually schedule it? You know, I'm going to create, you know, creative voicemail, 9:15, Tuesday morning. See, that's something you could sink your teeth into. But, you know, just having some notes or like committing it to memory, I really think you should say amen, because you got a nice little freaking prayer there. You don't really have anything there that's going to be useful to you. And then you're going to think this podcast sucks and you're not going to come back. But listen, if you found value in this, I have a final suggestion for you. I would actually love for you to come and join us for our How to Open More Doors and Close More Deals webinar. And it's going to be on Thursday, September 12th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. The entire webinar is going to be dedicated to creative ways to get in that door, but also expedite deals that you're working on right now. I figured this would be timely for you guys. We're coming up on that time of year where we need every opportunity that we can, but we also need to bring home as many opportunities as we can. The quicker, the better. So I want to share a lot of ideas with you on how to do those things. So if you found value in this today, understand today, these are my throwaway ideas. These are not going to be the ideas that you're going to be paying for if you come and join us. So if you'd like to learn more, could you please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/standout. yoursalesplaybook.com/standout. And standout is just like all lowercase, pretend it's like one word. So with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.